A myth is something that some people, or actually most people, think are true, but actually is not true. For example, some people think that you can see the Great Wall of China from outer space. I heard that when I was a kid, but that's not true, right? And especially if you've ever been to Beijing, especially on a foggy day, you can't even see the wall from like 2 meters away, right? So there's no way you can see it from outer space. Just because the Great Wall of China is long, it's still only like, 2 meters wide. So it's not that wide of a wall. So that's a myth. Another myth, I don't know if you've heard, that some people think are true, but it's actually not true, is the myth that humans only use 10% of their brain. That's false. That's a myth. That's not true. It makes for a good sci-fi movie because you think like, ooh, what if you can access, 90% of your brain? Maybe you can like fly or move things with your mind. But that's not true. The fact of the matter is that our brain is divided into sections, and each section of our brain is used for different things. We don't always use all of the sections at one time, but we do use all of our brain, okay? So that's a myth. Here's another myth that most people think is true, but it's actually not. And here's the myth. The myth is this: singleness is bad. Singleness is bad. It's just terrible. And that's a myth. That's not true. And I wanted to do this little mini-series on singleness and marriage, looking at the myths of singleness, looking at the myths of marriage. But this talk today on myths of singleness, it's not just for single people, it's actually also for married people. The fact of the matter is that if you're married, you will be single again, whether by death or by divorce. My father passed away 2 years ago, and my mom has been, for the past 2 years, has been learning to be a single person again and dealing with things like that. And so this message is not just for single people, it's for all of us. And so a lot of this information I got from a pastor by the name of Sam Albury, and I've been trying to get him to Shanghai to speak. Actually, he was supposed to speak this year, but because of COVID, couldn't come. But he wrote a book called Seven Myths of Singleness, and I got a lot of my information from him. One of the first myth, as we mentioned, is singleness is bad for you. And here, for the Christian, it's specifically the way the world sees it is even worse for the Christian, because when we talk about singleness as Christians, we're talking about not just the state of being single or the state of being unmarried, but being celibate, not having sex. And so in the world's eyes, that's just weird. That's just even dangerous or even unhealthy. I actually Googled the word celibate and movies, trying to see like what kind of movies talked about celibacy or books or something like that. And actually two movies that came, I haven't seen these movies, but one was called The 40-Year-Old Virgin by Steve Carell, and that's a comedy. Here's a person who's 40 years old and single, and it's supposed to be a funny movie. And the other movie was 40 Days and 40 Nights, and I've never seen the movie, but the description of the movie says, it's a comedy, and it says, a man will do the unthinkable, go 40 days and 40 nights without sex. And in our culture, it is unthinkable, even outright weird, to go without sex. And I think the response is, and I wanted to kind of get to this when we talk about each of these myths, but the response to that is Jesus was the ultimate human being who ever lived. And yet he was never married. He never dated. As far as we know, he had no romantic relationships. He never had sex. And so to state that, to believe the myth that singleness is bad for you, it diminishes the humanity of Jesus Christ. we tend to define singleness as the absence of all the good things about being married. And Paul, I wanted to take a look, our main text that we're going to take a look at today is 1 Corinthians 7. But here in this chapter, Paul does talk about singleness as the absence of something, but we're going to take a look at what he says it's the absence of. So turn to your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28, Paul says this, "But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you." Here, Paul is not putting down marriage. In fact, throughout the New Testament, Paul has wonderful things to say about marriage. But also, Paul lives in reality. Paul understands the reality of marriage is when you stick two people together, two sinners together, there's going to be trouble. And you don't have to think too far about what some of those troubles may be when you're married. Statistically, 50% of marriages end in divorce. And that number is just about there here in Shanghai. And the number keeps growing in China. I know some Christian parents who have a child or children that have walked away from the faith. I have some married friends who have lost their spouse, even at a young age. Even just a couple of months ago, I was doing a funeral via Zoom for a friend of mine who I discipled when he was a young adult. Now he later on got married and has a four-year-old daughter, and he passed away. And his wife is a widower. I know parents who have lost their children in death, which is one of the most agonizing and painful experience a human being can go through. I know people whose spouse has been unfaithful and even walked out of their marriage. These are just some examples that Paul is talking about when he talks about trouble, troubles that single people will not have to face firsthand. You may be able to empathize with people going through divorce or adultery, but you won't have to experience that firsthand. As a single person, you are spared from a broken marriage. You are spared from having a spouse commit adultery. You're spared from having children who want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. So a lot of times we mistakenly compare the ups of marriage with the downs of singleness. But that's wrong. Because there's a lot of ups in singleness, and there's a lot of downs in marriage. And so I'm going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's turn there. And here, I really appreciate Paul, because again, Paul lives in reality. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, listen to what he says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, Paul says, "But I want you to be free from concern." Or in the ESV, it talks about anxiety. And that's good. You know, Paul doesn't want us to live anxious lives. That's good. Verse 32, "But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the one who is married is anxious or concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided." Paul here in this chapter, let me just make it clear that he's not saying that if you're married, you cannot have devotion to the Lord. Nor is he saying that if you're single, you're going to have great devotion to the Lord. What he is saying here is that if you are single, you will have less distractions in doing Christian ministry. Those that are single are pulled in fewer directions than those that are married. A few weeks ago, I preached a message about legacy. And on average, a child from the age of birth to 18 years old, before college, from birth to 18 years old, it costs to raise that child about 4 million RMB. A lot of my time, talent, and treasures are divided in directions, as it should be. as a married person. But as a single person, here Paul is saying that you can serve the Lord in an undivided way. Number two, second myth that that I wanted to talk about today is singleness requires a special calling. That's a myth. Singleness requires a special calling. And to be honest with you, I just wanted to confess, I used to believe in this myth. So how do I explain this? So those of you who know me, you know that I enjoy watching superhero movies. I don't care if it's Marvel superheroes or DC movie superheroes or Dark Horse superheroes. I just enjoy superhero movies. And there's a lot to choose from, especially today. I mean, there's usually like a sequel and another sequel and then prequel, and then, you know, they spin off into these television shows and so forth. And we're all fascinated by people who can have special abilities, these superheroes that have been given special abilities to do some heroic things. Those of us in the church that have bought into the lie that singleness is bad, that the only way that that you can imagine someone being single for the rest of their lives, the rest of their life, is to have some kind of God-given superhero power that we call the gift of singleness. And again, I used to believe in this myth, but that's just not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, look with me, go up a few verses to verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, Paul says, "Yet I wish all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gifts from God, one in this manner and another in that manner." Paul here is not talking about the gift of singleness as some kind of superpower, just as the gift of marriage is not some kind of superpower that some people have and some people don't. I know some single people, single guys and gals, that have put themselves in very unhealthy, unbiblical relationships on the idea that believing some erroneous thinking that they think, well, I just don't have this special gift of singleness. And so they put themselves in unbiblical situations. What Paul is talking about here when he talks about his own gifts from God, he's not talking about a superpower, about being single or about being married. He's talking about the state of being single itself. The gift of singleness is the gift of being single. Just as the gift of marriage is the gift of being married, the gift is the state itself. And all of God's gifts are good. Too many single people hate being single, which leads them to not appreciating the gift of singleness that God has blessed them with, which leads to being frustrated and disappointed. Just as there are many married people that I know that hate being married to their spouse, which leads to them not appreciating the gift that God has blessed them with, which leads them to being frustrated and disappointed. Ultimately, it's not an issue of being married or being single, because either way, you get to experience the gift of God, the goodness of God, and all of God's gifts are good. But we need to learn to appreciate the gifts that God has given us, the gift that He has given you as being single, the gift that He has given you of being married. It's not wrong to pray for a spouse if you're single, but it is wrong and even unhealthy to think that the key to God blessing me is by making me complete is by being married. That's wrong and even unhealthy to think that my marriage status is going to complete me. Your marriage status doesn't complete you. Only Christ can do that. So myth number one is singleness is bad. Myth number two, singleness is some kind of superpower that or a special kind of calling. Myth number three is singleness must be very isolating and lacks intimacy. Singleness must be very isolating and lacks intimacy. This is a very dangerous myth. In our world today, sex and intimacy are typically the same thing. When you hear the word intimacy, in our world today, we tend to think sexual. But research shows that you can have a lot of sex and not have any intimacy. Also, you can experience a lot of intimacy that has nothing to do with sex. I want to show you a picture here. This is a picture of last time I was in Corinth. And here is a picture of this kind of a tablet that we see of a person by the name of Erastus. This is archaeological proof of things that we see in the Bible. And so in Romans chapter 16, verse 23, here we see the name Erastus, and here we see it, artifact that was discovered not that long ago in the city of Corinth. Anyway, I'm showing this to you. The reason I'm showing this to you is when you look at Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16 is a very interesting chapter because it lists all of these kind of like all of these friends of Paul that he wants to acknowledge. All of these individuals that we never see again in the Bible, but yet Paul just lists them out. And there's a whole bunch of them in Romans chapter 16 that he wants to thank and wants to acknowledge. And I share that with you because we need to understand Paul, when he's doing his ministry, was not a lone ranger, not living in isolation. He had deep, intimate relationships with people that were not sexual. He had deep friendships. Another verse I wanted to take a look at, and this is one of those verses in the Bible that I wouldn't believe it in the Bible unless I actually saw it in the Bible. And so look with me in John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is just one of those verses that it's like, what? That's in the Bible? No. Well, it actually is in the Bible. John chapter 15, verse 15, here Jesus says, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Here, Jesus Christ calls us friends. But what is a friend? In Jesus' definition, in the Bible's definition, what is a friend? Does Jesus say, "I call you friends for I have you as Facebook friends"? No, he doesn't say that. Friendship, what is friendship in the Bible? Instagram followers? No. What Jesus says here is a friend for all the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is what a friend is, what Jesus is saying here. A friend is someone that you let in to your life. A friend is someone that you share your heart to. Jesus says, "For the things that I have heard from my Father, I want to share. I want to make known to you." This is intimacy. Friendship is true intimacy. Biblical friendship, not Facebook friends, not WeChat friends, not Instagram followers. True biblical friendship is real intimacy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger man as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity." When we come to church, we need to see our younger brothers and our younger sisters not as potential mates or potential dates, but we need to see them as brothers and sisters in all purity. Singles can experience great intimacy, rich, deep friendships, even deeper friendships than if you were married. Now, of course, that if you're married, you can experience more, a deeper depth, maybe, of intimacy. But when it comes to being single, you have freedom and being less divided, you can develop more friendships, have more time to develop friendships that a lot of married people cannot and should not if you're married. So that's a myth, lacking intimacy. The fourth myth is singleness is a waste of my sexuality. The response to this, I'd like to respond to this, is the Bible begins with a marriage, Adam and Eve. And the Bible ends with a marriage in the book of Revelation with Christ and the church. And that first marriage of Adam and Eve and all the other marriages up until that point is to be a model for that ultimate marriage. And we see that throughout the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, I use this often in weddings, when I'm preaching at a wedding, and when I'm teaching premarital counseling and just marriage counseling. In one of our fellowship groups, they're studying marriage, and this is the main text, Ephesians 5, that they're going to be studying about marriage. But understanding the context of Ephesians chapter 5, the context of Ephesians chapter 5 is not marriage. It's about Christ and the church. Marriage is just the illustration or the example. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, Paul says, "For this reason a man shall leave his mother and shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church." This passage is talking about Christ and the church. Marriage is a model that ought to point to Christ and his church. Your earthly marriage was never meant to fulfill you. Your earthly marriage was never meant to complete you. Your earthly marriage was meant to point to the only one that can complete you, Jesus Christ. A funny movie that I saw a while back by Ben Stiller, it's actually so stupid that it was funny. It's called Zoolander. I don't know if you've ever seen Zoolander. I wouldn't recommend it, but it's so stupid that it's funny. So the premise of the movie, it's the more handsome or more pretty you are, the more stupid you are. So Ben Stiller, who's like the world-leading, you know, male model, which is kind of funny in itself because he's not that good in reality, a good-looking guy, but he plays this, you know, supposedly the most handsome man in the world. And because he's so handsome, he's not that smart. So there's this one person that wants to create a school under his name, Zoolander School for the Gifted or something like that. And so the architect shows him the model of the school, and it's only about this big. And so Zoolander walks into the architect's studio, and he sees the school, and the architect says, "Here is your school, Zoolander, Zoolander School for the Gifted." And Zoolander looks at this, and he takes it and he throws it on the ground. And he's so upset, and he says, "What is this, a school for ants? This school must be at least 2-3 times bigger than this." And it was so funny because, you know, Zoolander, he didn't quite understand that, you know, he got confused of the model for the reality. And it's kind of a funny scene where Zoolander, again, he confuses the model for the reality. And we do that a lot with marriage. We confuse the model for the reality. I really enjoy doing weddings, but more importantly, I enjoy helping couples prepare for their marriage. But one thing that I don't enjoy is when I hear them say something in their vows to each other that really should only be said of Jesus Christ. Those of you who have ever had me officiate, you know that I have three vows in my wedding ceremony. when I do that. One is the ring vowels, the other is the I do vowels, and then the third is the vowel vowels. The ring vowels and the I do vowels, I say, and then you just repeat. But the vowel vowels, the wedding vowels, I have you write before the wedding, and then the first time you actually hear each other's vows is the day of the wedding. But you work with me individually as you prepare your vows that you're going to recite. And more often than not, I have to correct some of the things in the vows. For example, not that long ago, one of the guys that was getting married, he said something in his vows that he drafted and that I read. Is he said in his vows that, "Honey, you are the light of my world." And I had to correct him and say, "Buddy, no, she's not. And you're not loving her by saying to her something that is only true of Jesus Christ. Being the light of your world was never meant to be something that she is to fulfill, a burden that she was designed to bear." Or more often than not, I hear people write in their vows, "I will love you for all eternity." And again, I have to correct them and say, "No, you're not going to be married in, you know, loving them for all eternity." Jesus says that there is no marriage in heaven. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, verse 30, Jesus says there is no marriage in heaven. And the reason why there's no marriage in heaven is that in heaven, we will have the reality. So we don't need the model anymore. In heaven, we will have the reality, Jesus Christ. We won't need the model. If you're married, your marriage is supposed to be a model to point to Christ and the church. And if you're single, your singleness now as a Christian can testify of the reality of the goodness of God now for how it's going to be a reality for all of us in the future. Singleness is not bad. As a single person, you can serve the Lord. That is undivided. Number two, singleness does not require a special calling. Being single is a gift from God, and all of God's gifts are so good. Number three, singleness doesn't have to be isolating or lack intimacy. Singles can experience great intimacy, rich and deep friendships that are not sexual. And fourthly, singleness is not a waste of your sexuality. If a healthy marriage can show us the model or the shape of the gospel, healthy singleness can show us the sufficiency of the gospel, the sufficiency of Christ. Your singleness can be used to testify to a world that is obsessed with marriage, obsessed with sexuality, that those things are not ultimate. Your singleness can point to the thing that is ultimate, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate reality. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for our time today as we talk about this important but sensitive topic of singleness. Father, thank you for this gift, the gift of being single. Thank you for the gift of being married. And Father, help us, whether we're married or single, to appreciate and be thankful for the gifts that you have given to us, because all of your gifts are so very good. Father, help us as Christians to not, as although we're in this world, but we're not of this world, that our sufficiency doesn't come from our marriage status. Our sufficiency comes from Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.